G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 5B.
Now, can you see that suddenly we begin to feel that that holism, which is contemplating the whole, is a multidimensional whole, that every dimension has its own structure, its own laws, but they are not separated from each other by watertight compartments, but they are really, that they are interrelated, very densely, intimately interrelated. Therefore, it's not a hierarchy that, like in a business, like a control hierarchy. One calls it a nested hierarchy, because every level is there where every other level is also. You don't have a level here and then a watertight compartment, and on the upper level then something, another higher level, and so on. They are all within each other. One calls that a nested hierarchy, so that one sees the whole is never broken up into levels, but the levels only serve our understanding in order to bring order into our conception of the whole. Therefore, these levels are interconnected through laws of interdependence, and you begin to feel that within that whole there is a great dynamic force going on, that things are related to each other, are working together with each other, and therefore, as a next step, one gets a feeling that this structural and dimensional sense is not a static sense, but is a very dynamic sense, that within that wholeness there is a constant dynamic activity going on. Now, this brings a new question. Namely, we come now to the cybernetic sense of wholeness. How? If there is only the one, and that one is the whole, then the power and the action, the dynamics that is going on within the whole, must be from within the whole and not from outside, or you have duality. So that whole is activated and motivated and is dynamic from within itself. Which means that the whole does not need outside power, no outside intelligence to guide what's going on within the whole, to direct and guide and steer. That it needs no outside control, that everything goes on in a proper way and doesn't get out of balance. Therefore, that the dynamics, the power, the intelligence, the guiding, the control is within the whole. And to this concept, we give the term cybernetic. That's the term of cybernetic. That it is a self organizing system. Now, it's not just system as we had it before. Now we see that that system, because it's dynamic, constantly restructures itself, and therefore can see from all sorts of angles, from all sorts of levels in dimensionalism, that this dynamic is a self organizing system. It organizes itself. And we jolly well have to see that we don't interfere with it. Therefore, it's also called the ecological system. And we know that we have interfered with the ecology of the world. And by interfering with the ecology of the world, we begin to destroy nature to a certain point, and then it turns back on us and begins to destroy us. That's all because we are not aware that in the holistic science, there is a self-organizing system, and we better keep out of it. We better put Mary out of the way, as Mrs. Eddy would say in the healing, that we don't interfere with it, or that we go along with the cybernetic system in the world. That's the point. So we can see that we have to introduce a new concept, that of the self-organizing system, which has as its main aim to keep the changes that go on in the ever newness of being, keep those changes in balance so that there is no crisis, no chemicalization, to keep the balance intact so that we have a constant harmony and balance in change. Not the static balance, but as a balance in the flow of changes. If there would be no flow of changes, we would stall, we would be the same, that would be death. So this cybernetic system has an inbuilt control system that has within itself the intelligence, own intelligence, to control that system so that that system doesn't get out of balance, that it keeps its equilibrium, its homeostasis or homeorese, as they say it in cybernetic terms. So we can see again that in order that that wholeness is self-regulating, it must have its own intelligence, its own power, its own steering mechanism, its own guidance, and its own aim and purpose. And so we don't have to give purpose to something. We have to experience the purpose that is inbuilt and innate in wholeness. So that we can see that the human mind becomes obsolete because the human mind is outside the divine mind of the whole. And the moment we interfere with the human mind and with human conceptions and think things should evolve the way we humanly think it should evolve, we interfere with the self-organizing system of being. Finally, that would climax the whole sense of holism or ecology, which would say that this cybernetics works towards demonstrating or bringing out or manifesting wholeness. So suddenly this science has meaning, has an inbuilt meaning. In the old science, you were not allowed to have that. In the old science, science had no purpose, had no meaning, did not make sense, was not humanistic. It didn't take care if it kills people or if it helps people. That was not the purpose of science. Now suddenly, with a different concept of science as a holistic science, suddenly science has as a necessary criteria purpose, meaning, that it makes sense. What kind of sense? It always optimizes. So the holistic cybernetic rhythm always optimizes, always spirals up and up and up to an optimum form or in everything. So we can see that if we would trust really the new science, we will also trust that everything works out for the good, that everything is here for bringing out the highest good and not the highest evil. What we call evil is only the overturning and the overturning that is necessary in order that the cybernetic system excludes the interference factors and the interference powers and excludes it and chucks it out and says, I'm really the governor of the whole thing. So it is goal-directed, a high goal, just as Dayada Sharada always talked about the higher goal as the point omega, if you know his teaching. Odunui was constantly talking about the telefinalistic sense of science. That telefinalistic means that it always strives to a far purpose, to a high purpose that is taken as a goal. It's a goal causality that is at work in a cybernetic system. The goal is the cause, not the effect. It's one calls it goal causality, because the whole system works towards one, infinite good. Yes, so these are the elements or the criteria for a holistic science. That was Roman 2 under A. Now we come to Roman 3, namely to the method of a holistic awareness. And I've already pointed out that this is a difficult point insofar as the new scientists have not yet been thinking about this a great lot. Because you still can see that the new scientists, that they are thinking about point one in some way, but not in a big way, because they don't know what God is. And that's the only wholeness. They don't know what it is, but they know, and they say, well, we can't anymore separate theology from science. That they know, that there must be a science of God, but they don't know how to define that. But they feel it, that there must be that. Where they are very strong is in Romans 2, that they begin to analyze their holistic concept of science in a high degree, as we have been doing right now. But they have not been thinking a lot about point three, namely, what kind of an inner attitude is necessary for the observer, because the observer becomes very important, because he is a participator in the universe. What kind of an attitude should he have that his attitude is holistic? That means that the new scientist would have to undergo a great inner reformation, that he can no more just approach his new subject with his old attitude and remain the same human, miserable being. Because one can, in the old science and even in the new science, we could see that one can be a great scientist and a rotten mortal. That this does not conflict. But in the holistic science, it would conflict. It just doesn't work. That's why then when we come to Mrs. Eddy, we can see that only if we have a holistic attitude within ourselves, if everything begins to overturn and overturn within ourselves, and we become a new man, we lay down the old man and take on the new man, where we lay off the immortal and put on immortality, that only in that way we are actually able to be a new scientist, or the scientist of a holistic science. Up to this point, the scientist could really investigate the subject with the human mind and with their brain. And they used method of investigation of creativity with their human brain and could arrive at certain results. Here and there, they began to see that it is not the human intellect that is so important. Here and there, the great physical or natural scientists and also other scientists began to see that besides the human intellect, something else can be of greatest importance, namely that what they may call intuition, what they could call revelation, the creative spark, perhaps even the association of thought, perhaps even dreams, that those would be means that would reveal the newness of the new aspect of their science. You know that many of the great discoveries by actually discovered by a line of reasoning, but by intuition, by dreams. Mrs. Eddy only uses Agassiz as a natural scientist in her textbook. Agassiz made the biggest discovery in his dreams. In his dreams, he would suddenly see the solution of what he was seeking, waking up and not remembering it, finding the answer again in the dream, waking up and not remembering, until he made up his mind that he has a pencil and a piece of paper next to his bed. And then the third time he dreamt it, he wrote it down, went right down to the laboratory and experimented it. Well, this is not a unique case. Actually, once the MIT made an investigation asking the most important discoverers how or to what they attribute their new discovery, and 84% attributed it to intuition, not to the long way of reasoning things out. And so more and more this has become common, that there are other creative faculties in the human attitude, in our human makeup, in our human attitude, other than just the use of the brain. Or you think of the great chemist Kekulé, who saw in a dream, some say in the dreams, some say when he was contemplating the fire, he saw a serpent that was biting in his tail, and in that way he got the answer for something he was seeking for a long time, namely that carbon ring that revolutionized chemistry totally. That was a total paradigm shift in chemistry. That was not just a little discovery in chemistry, but a total new paradigm shift. And he got it through that symbolism of a serpent biting in his tail. You know, the benzene, or the, you call it different, the carbon ring is usually pointed out this way. On each point there is a carbon molecule, I think, or so, or atom, whatever it is, doesn't matter. So instead of having, as an old time, a linear way of thinking, a linear way of thinking out things in chemistry, he suddenly began to see that there is no beginning and no end as a ring or as a chain, and that revolutionized, as far as I know, the whole field of chemistry. So little by little you can see that the new science begins to acknowledge that there are other attitudes than just reasoning. We have seen that neurophysiology has seen that mind is separate from the brain, that mind is a discoverer by itself, that mind is a knower and a knowledge by itself, that in cybernetics we know that in a cybernetic system the intelligence is within the system and not in people, that the system itself, a cybernetic system itself, is intelligent and can work things out without the help of the human mind. And so in psychology we have the supra-consciousness that is being tapped nowadays, or the archetypal consciousness. So in biology, as I will perhaps have time to tell you, there is a morphological field that is absolutely independent of the human, of people, that is forming the new forms. And so it goes on and on today, that in all different fields, one begins to see that there is something else at work than the human brain. Something quite different. Something that is independent of the human brain. Called, perhaps in one term, information field. That we live in an information universe, and that this information, in that information universe, it is mind that is thinking the thinker. And no more the thinker that is thinking concepts, but mind thinking the thinker. That we are being thought by the mind, but not that we think through the mind. Well, these are all new, great new revolutions that take place. For what? And I come quickly to point four, that to that holistic self-intelligence called information or holistic consciousness. This is a subject that I will take up later again. At this moment, I just want to point out, within the few minutes that are left, what it implies. It implies that if we see that actually intelligence is not in the brain, that intelligence does not belong to people, but that it is a factor per se in being, that it acts out of its own intelligence, guides and governs and rules and controls by its own, then naturally we see that this intelligence is the intelligence of all sciences, of all the sciences. And we come back to the point that a holistic science is the science of all sciences. Therefore, that we don't have a lot of sciences next to each other in nice watertight compartments, where in a university the people in one department don't talk to the other professor in the other department because they study something else, but that we that everything converges towards seeing that there is a science that goes right through all the other sciences. That's what happened or began with Bertha Lanfi when he began to show us in the middle of the 50s the general system theory, and that developed more and more to the point to cybernetics, where one began to see that this, like cybernetics, that this is a science that is the science for every science. No matter what science we touch, the fundamental, the basic science, the deep structure science is actually the cybernetic sense of science with its information value and information factor. So that we can see that the new scientist, he will have to have a completely different consciousness. That his consciousness, as we have seen, must be a consciousness that is thinking in holistic elements, that is thinking in holistic categories, in categories. People have a lot of difficulties in thinking in categories, and we will see if we can help in this way during this week to see how that is necessary. It is a consciousness and a thinking way of the new scientist that must have a system thinking and not a linear thinking. Most people always think linearly, from one point to the next point, to the next point, to the next point. That's the way we are trained to think since thousands of years. But those thousands of years have come to an end. There is another thousand-year period around the corner. And that must be able to think in system. That means that one can think at the same time linearly and vertically, horizontally and vertically, just as a conductor has his core and must direct the orchestra in a system thinking way, linearly and vertically at the same time. And that's how we have to think, or we miss out on everything. Then we think one-dimensionally. So our thinking must be structurally, must be multidimensionally, or we lack something. We are not holistic. And so we have to train ourselves to think in a cybernetic way, in cybernetic laws, which has no beginning and no end, which is the answer to the law of cause and effect. Because cause is a beginning, effect is an end. The cybernetic law has no beginning and no end, because it's a loop, a circuit loop, that always spirals up and up and up, higher and higher. So in this way we begin to see that we have to have a completely different consciousness. Now that is something we can't get overnight. It's something that we have to culture. If Laszlo says, I think quite rightly, that we have come to an end of a cultural epoch, then a new epoch is beginning, and therefore we have to let go of the old and be willing to think about a new epoch. Be willing to culture ourselves in that new epoch. If we have a 1,000-year-old culture in the old epoch, we can easily also have a 1,000-year culture in the new epoch. And that is the issue of this week. Okay, tomorrow we begin with the next subject.